This sermon is by the Reverend J. Christie Ramsey, pastor of Goodyear Heights Presbyterian Church in Akron, Ohio, recorded at the church's classic worship service held Sunday mornings at 9. May you be blessed to be a blessing. In Matthew, Jesus shares a couple parables, stories about how the kingdom of God is. Listen and hear as we look at some of these parables in Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33 and 44 through 46. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. And it's the smallest of all seeds. But when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. And he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want a big one! A big one! Who knows where that's from?
Where? McDonald's?
Yeah. McDonald's is a good guess. A big one. You don't remember. It's from A Wonderful Life. A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. He goes into the haberdashery, to the old store, and he says he wants a big one. The biggest suitcase trunk, steamer trunk you can ever see. He describes this huge, big case that he wants because he's going to see the world, and he wants room to put stickers from all the places he's going to visit. He wants a big one. It could be us in the lines of McDonald's. It could be us anywhere in America. If you go around the world, most of the times when you ask about the United States, one of the things they'll bring up is that we want a big one. Everything there is so huge. It's so big. Their buildings, their cars, their ego, all of that is huge. In the story of It's a Wonderful Life, is a story about small things doing big things. Well, the bigness continues because not only does George want a big suitcase, he tells his father that his dream is to do big things. After he travels, he wants to build skyscrapers. He wants to build big buildings. He wants to leave his mark. He wants the great, huge monuments that George Bailey built. He wants to do big things. But as we find out as the movie goes along, he never gets to do the big things. One after another, personal crisis and consequences of him being a responsible son and father and brother takes away all the big things he wants to do. He has to take over the family business and put aside his dreams of college. He has to go and continue to save the family business so his brother can go on. He gets married. He settles down. He never does those big things he always wants to do. And one night when he looks at how small his life is, what little things he had done with his life, when the evil one has told him that he was worth more dead than alive, that he was so small that his life was not even worth living. In the movie, George goes to a river, and like Jacob, he meets someone of God on the bridge that he's thinking of ending his life. And just like Jacob, but through the magic of movie, he wrestles with that messenger of God, trying to figure out whether he's going to cross that river or not, or whether he's going to fling himself in it and kill himself, and thus prove what the evil one has told him, that he is better off dead than the little, tiny, insignificant life that he has. But in the movie, the angel shows George Bailey what a wonderful life he had. And it wasn't because he did big things. It wasn't because he traveled the world and filled that wonderful big trunk with stickers of all the wonderful and exotic places he found. It wasn't because he built great skyscrapers and monuments that people will point to and said, George Bailey built that. Rather, it was little things that made a huge difference. As Mother Teresa says, she does not try to do big things, but tries to do little things with great love. George Bailey finds out that his kindness to a school friend had prevented her from a life of violence and abuse. George Bailey finds out that asking a shy girl out to a dance saved her from loneliness and sadness and delivered her into happiness and family and love. George Bailey finds out that just doing little things with great love, he has changed his world, his life, his community has changed from, if he wasn't there, if he had never lived, into some kind of terrible, awful cesspool of profit and evil, lacking in any of the basic compassion. He found out that just the littlest thing of stopping, of preventing an error from a grief-stricken boss and getting beat for it, just by that small act of integrity and courage and kindness, he saved the life of a man where it would have been wasted in prison for one mistake. He finds out by reaching out a hand to his brother who was in trouble at a pond in a silly children's game of sledding, that because of that small, noble, good, kind act of selfishly compassion, of reaching out and literally helping others, he had saved a whole battalion of troops when that man grew up to become the savior in an airplane for them. He's at the river, wondering what to do, what God has in store for him, whether his life had any meaning at all, whether he should live and die, because he had not done any big things. And because the evil one says, you are small, you are insignificant, you are worth more dead than alive. And friends, whether you're Jacob on the river Jabbok, or whether you're George Bailey on the bridge over another river, the evil one still will tell you the same thing, that you are not worth anything, that you are insignificant, that the world would be better off if you're dead than alive. And that's a lie, that's a lie, and that's a lie. Every big thing starts with the little things. And the most important things in life turns out not to be the great grand crusades, but the small, daily, faithful, kindness, compassion acts of everyday life of decent and faithful people. What are small things that can be huge today? What are little things that can be great? Where are the mustard seeds? Where are the small pieces of yeast that will leaven the whole loaf? That baker was making enough bread for 100 or 150 people. A crazy amount. And the mustard seed, it might come up to a couple feet, maybe 9 to 10, but never a tree, never branches that birds things. Jesus is telling us that it's crazy how significant small acts of faith and kindness and compassion bear fruit. What are the mustard seeds that are around here today in our congregation? Is it the Goodyear Heights Players? Is it the vision of Auburn? He said, you know, I've always wanted to work with youth, and it seems I have a lot of time on my hands with the recent reversals of fortunes, and builds that up into something fruitful beyond all measure. What are the tiny seeds that are in our congregation? Is it our hospitality, our welcome, our care for people in a place where technology has more expectations than people, where people turn to robots and Furbies and all sorts of online avatars for their touch and their compassion and their faith to face contact? Is it where Rio and our friends have more than a face? They have hands and feet and a heart, and they will be here with you more than just a face on a screen. What are the little mustard seeds in our community? Is it Right Committee? Is it going out for night out this Tuesday and doing small acts of kindness to bring together the community so we watch out for one another and help one another? It could be. What are the small acts in our country? Did you read Bob Dyer's column in the Akron Beacon Journal about the man who wrote back to Social Security and said, you know, it's not much, but it's something I can do. I don't want any of the increases in my Social Security. I don't need them. I'm going to turn it back. What if that caught on? What if that sacrifice caught on? The mustard seed, the people who said, you know, I really don't need this from the government. I'm going to turn it on back. What if it caught on that it became patriotic to pay your taxes? I mean, why? Why is it patriotic? Why is it honored as it should be, as it is, to go to war, to risk your life, to risk your limb, to risk your health, to risk your future? That's patriotic, but somehow paying for it is awful. How can a country ask its young people to go and to fight for it and then refuse to pay for it? How can we ask some to sacrifice life, liberty, freedom, their limbs, their health on one hand, and then say, we're giving ourselves a tax cut and not paying for it? What if there is patriotic patrons of America? What if the folks that paid their taxes and even more were looked on as those who love their country and believe in their country as much in the same way as people who will leave and fight for their country? If we can tell people this country is worth dying for, we can certainly tell ourselves it's worth paying for. What if that caught on, where we decided that sacrifices are not just something we outsource to our young men, but sacrifices are something for all of us? What if those seeds and those germs caught on and we crossed that river and decided, you know what? There's some things that I can do for the country. And I want folks that are working for solutions, not work for political points. I want folks that will be the best for the country and the next generation, and not just the next election. Can make a difference. Can make a huge difference. Maturity is planting seeds for trees under whose shade we will not rest. We are beneficiaries of that. And we are in danger of not giving that to our children and our grandchildren. Little things done well make a great difference. Do not believe because you cannot do big things. Do not believe because you do not have great power. Do not believe because you don't have the biggest trunk on the block and the greatest monument built, that what you do doesn't matter. It matters a lot. You matter a lot. Do not let anyone tell you that you are insignificant. Do not let anyone tell you that what you do doesn't matter. That is a lie of the evil one. And it is a struggle. It is a difficulty. But what Jacob's story tells us in the River Jacob, and what, strangely enough, the angel and George Bailey's story in its wonderful life tells us, is that God is concerned not with just what we do or don't do. That God is concerned not just with the rules and the outcome, but God is concerned with the struggle. If you are struggling, if you are worried, if you got a river to cross, if you are going to and fro making decision, I want to tell you from Jacob, and yes, even from It's a Wonderful Life, God is not against you. God is right there with you in the struggle. God is there. Grab hold of God and ask for a blessing. Demand the blessing, saying, God, I want to know you. God, I want to bless you. Do not think because things are hard, God is not with you, because that is when God is the most closest to you. I do not know what river you have to cross. I do not know what big thing you are thinking of starting to do with the little seed in your life. I do know that even the largest journey starts with the smallest steps. And I do know that the Bible tells us over and over again that faithful things done with great love lead to great things. Whether you're George Bailey on the river, on the bridge, looking over the river, or Jacob wondering whether or not to cross back into the promised land, I do know several things about them and about you. The big things don't start big. That many things done, small things done with love, brings great big things. That God is with you in your struggle, on the river, over the river, or waiting to cross it. That you are valued, that you are important, that the things you do make a difference not only in your own life, but in the community. And I do believe of all the great monuments there is to build in this world, of all the big things there is to do, there is no bigger project, there is no larger monument to God and to humanity than to build a good life.